The question today is, what can God do for sinners in the narrow way? We've looked at this for the four days before. This is the fifth part of this particular answer to this question. I'll not recap all of it. We have the tapes available, CDs available, and these messages are archived on thepersuader.org on the website. Well, I'll say this, what can God do for sinners in the narrow way? I'll just mention them. He awakens them that may turn him to the narrow way. He helps him get honest. He loves him because he loves everybody as far as that love is concerned. I know he don't love sin, but he loves the individual. He teaches man in the narrow way. He works all things together for ultimate good. He gives understanding. He changes from the natural fleshly man to that of being not natural in the narrow way. I know it's not to the supernatural, which one has when he's saved, but yet when he changes that man to the unnatural, it causes him to seek the Lord. He answers prayer that it's in the will of God, so that he'll know God exists, so that he might come to him. He'll cause him to worship him. He'll produce fear. He places love inside, at least to a degree, not like the fruit of the Spirit or being shed abroad, like he spoke of in the book of Romans when you're saved. But he grants faith, and that's intellectual faith and a seeking faith. It'll cause you to seek the Lord, and he'll give hope on that narrow way. He'll allow you to taste of the good things of God. And he wants you to continue. He'll even call you, even into the ministry. That is very possible, but please don't prop on that call. Many people have propped on a call they had and say, I know I'm saved because of the call I had to preach. Folks, you could be deceived. You could be blinded by the god of this world. A demon could have called you. You don't need to prop on that. But God can call sinners in the narrow way. And that call, no, there. You just need to get the cart behind the horse, not before the horse, and let the Lord save you so that He will put things in order in your life. Now, another thing that God can do for sinners in the narrow way, He can use you. In other words, He used Judas Iscariot to heal folk. He had the power of God on his life. He cast out devils. He used Samuel as he called him and he told Eli about the judgment he was going to send upon the nation of Israel. He used Balaam, who was a false prophet, a lost man, used him to bless. And God can use you. You see, He can use you even on the narrow way. Just because you feel like you've been used doesn't mean you're saved. That's just God's blessing to you to lead you to repentance. He also can enable you to restrain your lust and temper in your actions. Not to the degree of having the fruit of the Spirit of the inside. I'm talking about the temperance. Folks, there's many people who've made a profession of faith, and they were convicted of their drinking, and they gave up their drinking, and the devil helped them to give it up, and they controlled it. But really, that was just God's goodness to let them see they needed to get to the root problem of the sin of unbelief. In other words, as you'll repent as you go along the way, there'll be some things you'll lay aside. And what you have light on, what you know you ought to do, if you're not willing to do it and submit to what God's telling you in those areas, you'll never come to the full knowledge and understanding of true salvation, of real salvation. But He can enable you to restrain your lust and temper on the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And He can enable you to praise Him. You need to praise Him. The Bible said in Proverbs 22, verse number 6, as he said this in Psalms 22, 6, He said, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. And we've said that a lost man can seek, needs to seek, got to seek God in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And He said they can praise Him in there. He enables you to do it. In fact, Romans chapter 1 says, if you're not thankful for the light God's given you, it'll lead you to idolatry, that will lead you to immorality, that will lead you to destruction. And you need to be thankful just where you are, just for the light God's given you. So you need to praise Him. He enables you to praise Him in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. Also, He allows battles to come in the narrow way. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, about the false prophets just before this, but they said they're in wolves' clothing, in sheep's clothing, wolves in sheep's clothing in a sense. But He said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He comes to deceive and to blind. You see, there's ditches on both sides of the narrow way. There's side roads on the narrow way. And there's three enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil, that wants to pull you off the narrow way. There's the four thorns that's spoken of in Matthew 13 in the parable of the ground, the seed, or the sower, as it talks about four thorns that wants to choke out the seed and steal that seed there. And all these trials and all these battles comes to prove your sincerity. God's going to test you. In other words, it involves counting the cost. Are you willing to pay the price? Paul, who wasn't saved on the road to Damascus, but on the street called straight 3 days later, if you need the message on that, call us, ask us about it, or look up on the website in the archives of Ask the Pastor. ThePersuader.org is that website. But Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, chapter 3, the 4, 5, and 6, and 7, 8, long in there, he talks about how that he gives his pedigree of who he was and what his capability was. And if anybody had anything to brag about, he did. But he said, I took all those things and I counted them lost. When did he do that? 3 days as he lay in the street called Straight. As he lay there in desperation, he got in desperation and he came to the place, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to cast all aside. I'm willing to count all things as lost. One single thing. I count it but dung, in other words, that I might win Christ, that I might be saved. And about that time, Ananias come by and told him to rise and call on the name of the Lord that he might be saved. You see, he wasn't saved. His sins wasn't washed away yet. Wasn't cleansed by the blood. And so therefore, battles came. But he had to count the cost. And therefore, there's a warning given by the Lord. Whenever he was asked the question, are there few that be saved? Jesus said in Luke 13:24, strive to enter in the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Now only those who've been awakened will seek. There's some people tell you if you've been awakened, you're going to be saved no matter what. But the Bible said they sought because they was awakened, but they didn't enter because they didn't strive. Strive means to strain every fiber of your body to overcome the obstacles that the devil, the flesh, and the world sets in front of you. Folks, I want to tell you, I'm not talking about works for salvation, but you're going to have to pay a price. You're going to have to move down that narrow way. You're going to have to overcome those obstacles, and the Lord helps you to do it. When it's all over and done with, you'll say He did it all. To God be the glory, and He'll get every bit of it. Because you see, if you don't strive, you could slide into the ditch on either side of the narrow way and drain off into the abyss. Or you could choose a softer, more comfortable, seemingly comfortable side road. It's not going to be comfortable in the end. Or you might choose something more seemingly power of God, a demonstration that may not be a demonstration of the power of God, but be a demonstration of some devil somewhere, a demon that's leading you astray. Therefore, the Bible said in Proverbs 21:16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall not remain in the congregation of the dead, or shall remain in the congregation of the dead. In other words, you notice the way. That's the way of understanding he talked about. That's the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And if you wander out, doesn't mean just unconsciously. We all did that. We've all doing that. It means those who went out and over entangled in what they come out of and go back in the old world and get to the place that they just don't want to have anything else to do with the things of God and are overcome. They're totally given up. It's what Hebrews 6:4-6 said. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance if they utterly fall away. And therefore, it's important that you stay in the way of understanding. You stay in that. And I'll tell you something else that the Lord does. Not only is there battles, but He'll protect us in the narrow way. Even though you're not saved, there's a certain amount of protection. If it wasn't, the devil would kill you the moment you reach the knowledge of accountability and sends you to hell. But God's got a hedge about you. John chapter 6, verse number 37, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The word cometh is a continuous action verb. It means along that path of understanding, along the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. He says there that he won't cast you out. There's a hedge about you. In fact, there's a promise given in the Word of God. Promises, more than one. But Philippians 1:6, and even though this is written to the saints of God, listen to what it's saying. He said in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, He that hath begun, being confident of this one thing, very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Folks, that's a conditional promise as far as those who've not yet been justified. But once you've been justified, that's an unconditional promise. He'll carry you in body, soul, and spirit. But those that God hath begun a good work by waking you, showing you, giving you life, giving you grace, showing you that that God's is good to you, and whatever He shows you, and give you the understanding you need, I'll tell you, He's begun a good work in you, and if you'll continue in His Word, as He said in John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 said, faithful is He that calleth you, who will do it. and He'll carry you in. That's a conditional promise if you'll strive to enter in. And your striving's not going to save you in a sense, but it helps you to overcome the obstacles on the narrow way so that you might come to the end of yourself and you might be saved. And somebody said, "Does that, what are you talking about? Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. That's an active waiting. That's a striving. It's bombarding the gates of heaven in essence. It's looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." Now, if you get content where you're at, you may be like the man in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45, who made a false profession. He said, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none." You see, sometimes when man comes to a place that he's maybe have a demon, and I believe every lost man has one to some extent, but when you get under the power of God, get under the local New Testament church where God is moving and you taste of the Word of God, the demon in you flees. He leaves and leaves out. And then it says what happens. In other words, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. But verse 44 and 45 said, "Then he saith, I'll return into my house from which I came out, and when he come, he find it empty, swept and garnished." You see, no Jesus moved inside, no Lord on the inside. "Then goeth he and take with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And then they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be to this wicked generation." You see, that you'll be seven or eight times worse off. What can God do for a sinner in the narrow way? I'll tell you, He can open your heart. He does have to open your heart. You can't do it, but He opened Lydia's heart. In Acts chapter 16, verse number 14, He said, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of content where you're at. You may be like the man in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, attended unto the things which Paul was spoken of Paul. Something else He'll do, not only open your heart, He'll enable you to trust. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, He says there, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, as He speaks this, He said, "In whom also," meaning Jesus, "you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You see, He enables you to trust by granting you saving faith. A man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven. Saving faith has to come. So what can God do for sinners in the narrow way? All these things we've dealt about. If you want the tape or a CD, call us, write us, email us, or look on the web, archived on thepersuader.org. You see, if God can and does do all this for sinners, surely we ought to be able, as ministers of God, to stay with them, these sinners, on their journey to the straight gate. You can't go with them through the gate, but you can be on the other side saying when they come through, "Welcome home, my son." This is Edgar Lee Pascoe, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.